Remind me.
I think you should put this. You can put this on.
Cool.
Yeah. So Liad brought to my attention that we were saying that according to the Rush, I said that the Rush was like the Rach, which is that the Kiddushin is not done al-yidei the Hana, of Hayhi Hana de Kashama and so on, but it's the Kabbalas HaKesef mitzad the Isha, that she's kind of again like in lieu of the Loba. So Liad brought to my attention that if you look very carefully at the language of the Rush, it is certainly true that he doesn't emphasize the Hayhi Hana. However, what he does seem to emphasize is not so much the Kabbalah of the Isha, but the Nesina of the Baal. Correct? So that's you have the language there. Just So again, it's hard to know whether that's an important chiluk, but it might. It's something. It's a wrinkle. Put it that way. In other words, is Nesina something different than the Kabbalah at that point in the Gemara when we're talking about? All right, that's an interesting question, but it is an interesting deal. Speaking of diukim, also in the Rush, in our Girsa, the Gemara had. The Gemara originally formulated Arev. It was very striking, and I was suggesting that this was relevant to the Rambam's Parakeet Aleph Halacha Tesvav Mechira, that that the Gemara says Midin Arev because Arev Afagav Lamati Hanaliyade Kam Mishabed Hayisanem Afagav Lamati Hanaliyade Kam Mishabed Umekanya Navsha. So it's just interesting that some of the Rishonim, I noticed the Rush also, instead of having on the Seifa Mishabed Umekanya Navsha, just has Mekanya Navsha. In other words, for in the Gemara, it's the one that turns into two, and in the Rush, and also you have it there. I think it's the one either there or I'm pretty sure it's there. You closed it. I think since we're making diukim in the Rush, might as well, right? So he has not mishabed or mekanya, but mekanya alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's I think an interesting point. In light of all the things that we discussed. Okay, so let's finish up with this, and then tomorrow we'll do more, or if we can, we'll start already talking a little bit about the Chatzi Kiddushin, but running a little bit out of time, but we'll see how much we would get through. But let's just finish up our discussion of Eved Kenani. So we both so far discussed the question of the Rambam and Rashi, and the issue of, we're in the middle of discussing the issue of Zachin and Mishloach Lefanav, which I want to talk a little bit more about. So again, in Rashi, what we were discussing was the fact that on the Nesina level, at least, according to Rashi, there is shlichus. In other words, the person who is doing the Maisa Kiddushin is a shliach of the Bailim. That definitely downgrades, I guess, the importance of Eved Kenani significantly. The question is, if assuming that that is something fundamental and that is a necessity. In this case. So then the interesting chiddush that remains of Eved Kenani, as we discussed, is the fact that the money doesn't come from the Bailim, the money comes from the Shliach, and the question is how to assess whether that is important or not. In other words, is the requirement of Mechasre Mamone, Bailus over the Mamon, if there is such a requirement, is that a requirement which can be satisfied through the Shliach? Or Dafka, you would have thought that it would be through the Bailim. And if it is something that's accomplished through the Shliach, if there is such a factor and it's accomplished through the Shliach, then another question to think about is whether or not the question I raised yesterday also, and that is when a Shliach does a Kiddushin, right, to what extent is that like a different kind of Kiddush? Does the Shliach become the Mekadesh? He's not the Bailim, clearly, but I'm really asking, is the Shliach the person who does the Maisa Kiddushin for the Bailim? Or is he on some level, does he have like a status of Mekadesh? And that something that I was suggesting to look at in terms of the need for a separate psukim to be marba shlichus holacha in kiddushin compared to Gittin, where it's much more obvious. The question of bobos b'shlucho, if that's limited to this case, the question of a bracha levatala, right, the discussion of the raiva, the ribash, and so on, you know, if that has anything to do with it. Where in other words, you don't have, where there is something lost, or it's a different kind of a shlichus under those conditions. These are some of the issues to be looking at, and included in that also is something which we're going to discuss again in a couple of minutes, a little bit the Shak Levataria on Zion Amud Beis, possibly according to the Tosis Rid, where the question seems to be, let's say you have, how does that go, on Zion Amud Beis, if you have Gemara Safek here, Boy Rava Shnei Binosecha, right, Lishnei Banai, Bepruta Mahu. So the Gemara says, Basar Nosein Umekabel Azlinan Vahika Mamona, O Dilma Basar Ditu Azlinan Vahaleka. So the Basar Ditu Azlinan, and there's a teiko, believe it or not. So the Basar Ditu Azlinan Vahaleka is very clear. You have, you know, two Makachim, or two Bailim and two Ishas, right? And you only have one Pruta, you know, for each Kiddushin. Why do we take seriously the possibility that because there are, you know, only two, I guess, you know, people involved in the Maisa Kiddushin, right, that somehow a Pruta is sufficient, right? It sounds like two things are being assumed here. One is that the person who actually carries out the Kiddushin is a factor. Number two, that if that person is, you know, accomplishing, you know, a bundle of kiddushins, you know, that also doesn't even split up, you know, the osah kiddushin. So without going into more detail right now, maybe we'll leave that. Make sure to look at the, everybody look at the Tosafot already or not? Yeah? Okay, there's also a debate among the Achronim how to read that Tosafot. So maybe we'll get back to it later, or maybe we'll get back to it on Thursday. But very important. So what is the mitzaref here, such that we might even countenance the possibility that a single pruta, you know, because it's one, or it's, you know, it's one actor on each side, even though it's two ishios, would be sufficient. As I say, there are really two very questionable assumptions here. So the way Rashi and Tosa seem to read the Gemara is that, at least on the woman's side of things, it's the father, right? So since it's the father, you know, it doesn't, frankly, it doesn't answer all the problems, but at least that's how they're interpreting it. It doesn't say that in the Gemara at all, but it does say that in Rashi. Where's the line that I'm looking for? One second. The Shnei Banai, the Heim Gedolim, V'aso Shliach Lekadesh. So according to Rashi, Odilma bitcha bepruta de mediyada de batam bepruta lo makadsha. Oh, I'm sorry, did I miss out something? I thought Rashi also said it, or maybe said it later. The shnei banai is gedolim batam shliach. Okay, the implication in Rashi already is that it's as opposed to the daughters. Tosa says it explicitly, right? Omer read my rabbanos ktanos the kiddushin da avninu. Di bigdolos va'av mekabel kiddushin b'torah shlichos pshita debay pruta lekolachas de shliach la'odif mimishalcho the basar nosein de ka'amar lav dafka shrei nosein akorcha b'torah shlichos banav huba vi basar nosein azlian av boy shtei prutos kil banim ba'atzo mekadshin avala baya he right e basar mekabel azlian legamri de shemei lachas shalashi kabel mekabel shavar pruta. But Sarah Klumer should be Releza Mehem, Kagon Rachel, Ruvain, Velea, the Shimon, the Imlokan Abishal Yimsu, the Bia, that's a separate problem. So basically, Tosa said it's a little bit implicit in Rashi, at least half of it. Is that we're talking about what?
Can't be implicit in Rashi.
Can't be?
Because Rashi is saying the only case that the Gemara makes sense that the father is doing Kedushin for his sons is if they could over and that.
Okay. And what about the daughters? I mean, it could be either or, you're saying.
Rashi's
not saying to contrast it with the daughters. He's just saying the sons are that the only case in the daughters could be. Okay, good. So maybe. The Tosfot certainly holds that even the daughters could be a case of possibly shliach. So, but anyway, what Tosa says, I mean, is very reasonable. Tosa's saying if we're talking about a shliach, the shliach can't be better than the mishaleach, and therefore there are, you know, there just isn't enough, you know, prutas to go around. It's still mechudash that the father, on the daughter's side, he thinks that helps, right? Which means that the father's not a super shliach. I mean, there are two daughters here. So it sounds like what we're saying is that the father is, and this goes back to our Gimel Amud Beis, Dalet Amud Aleph discussion, right, about both Ketana and Nara, right? And then we talked, if I remember correctly, about, you know, that was our first year back, maybe, right? About numerous other applications of father-daughter, you know, or father-son, you know, relationships, whether we're talking about a super shliach or the father is the bailim, right? You know, we talked a lot of the mikzas and shuas ha-pikadon and kaskas ha-guf and maisi ha-dayim and the dari, a whole bunch of different cases. So this is, then we talked about the Gemara, you know, numerous places saying, you know, be'ishus miu lo mashkach, right, lo ashkachan bal korcha, right? And the Rishon HaMal say, well, what about kiddushei ketana, right? And comparing kiddushei ketana and mechira l'shivcha, right? Or and yiyud, right? And in all those cases, what we're trying to figure out is whether the father's role is that of super shliach on behalf of his daughter, or whether or not the father's really the, in some respect, he's the bailim. And there really is a kind of a chalos of kiddushei ketana, right? I don't just mean that it works, the raisa, which of course it does, but that it, like, it's a different kind of an ish, different ishus. Right? We had it also, and we were talking about chuppah, right? Chuppah kona, is that only in a case of kiddushei ketana, the diuk wanted to make in Rashi, and so on. So what I'm saying is that here, Tosis is assuming that the father, right, as the recipient, you know, is different than a shliach regarding this particular. We know he's different than a shliach, but regarding this particular issue, even though there are two of them, right? So it becomes a case of, for Tosis, this is basar nosein, right, which is two, or basar makabel. But there are some who interpret that, and the pashtus of the Gemara you could certainly interpret this way, and Itamar suggesting even Rashi can interpret this way, which is probably correct. That maybe it's not a diuk, it's just you have only one option in the first case and two options in the second case, fine. That the Gemara's Havamina is that the shliach somehow can do two actions. So again, there's a double chiddush there that's an even bigger double chiddush than it is as a double chiddush for the father. Number one, right, that he is assessed differently than the mishaleach. And that, you know, and that he's a chalos actor of some sort. And again, even when there's, you know, if he's a shliach for, you know, for two daughters, then you know, then he can, then his status as shliach, you know, can even merge them vis-a-vis the pruta. Of course, there's a chiddush about pruta, certainly too. So all I'm saying is that this, and there are more. I mean, especially in the second parak and other places, that this, the idea that this shliach, you know, is just, you know, doing the bidding of the mishaleach, and that he's, you know, he farmed out the maisa, you know, kiddushin, doesn't work so well with this. But if he is, again, he's not the bailim, but if somehow doing the maisa kiddushin makes him the makadesh, that's a bit of a higher or different standard. That's something to think very carefully about. So that's one. The Rambam, on the other hand, just to sum up. Oh, it's one second. So getting back to our point here, that would be relevant also to the question of, you know, by saying that the shliach can work without, you know, but can work with the money, in other words, of the shliach himself, right? What does that mean in terms of mechasre mamone being a factor, or whether you need the bailus of, you know, the mekadesh? Right, so that too may be linked to this question, whether or not, you know, we just apply shluchos shalom kemoso, you know that way, or we think that the shliach is really of the mekadesh. So at least the mekadesh, you know, is spending his own money. The mekadesh is being mekadesh or doing the ma'isa kiddushin with money that he owns. So that's an issue, and as we go forward on Zion and Ches, we'll see some other cases, I think, that will that will continue that theme. The Rambam, on the other hand, definitely doesn't seem to require shliach, seems to think that you can be mekadesh in this case, even though there is no shlichus on the maisa kiddushin. Right? For the Rambam, the words lomachasre don't just mean that it doesn't come out of his pocket, right? Or his bilus. It means much more than that. Right? It means that he may be mitzuraf, right, to the Kabbalah, but he doesn't necessarily have to, or maybe that makes him, the question is being mitzuraf to the Kabbalah, making mitzuraf to the Maisa, maybe, but the point is he isn't, even through Shlichus, doing the Maisa. That's important for Kiddushin. Right. She just needs a Kabbalah, mitzuraf to this Ishus or to the Baal, or he has to be mitzuraf at least to that, or to the Nesina, but he's certainly not the Nosein, as opposed to Shitas Rashi. And once we know that, right, it raises interesting questions about what Kiyikach Ish, Isha, right, really is. The other thing that we already noted is that the Rambam does an interesting thing in the Shnehem, two interesting things in the Shnehem. One is that he has Mekudeshes Mishum Shnehem in the context of Arev, before he even introduces Eved Kenani, which is just plain strange, but it sounds like he thinks that Mekudeshes Mishum Shnehem is more in the paradigm of Arev, or maybe it's based on an extension of the idea. The important thing is that there's Kesef Shalana. She receives Kesef Shalana. And if there's Kesef Shalana, then, and he's Mitzuraf to it in some way, right, then everything is fine and good. It's still strange that one of the components of the Midin Shneim is only formulated afterwards, but it sounds like the bigger point in the Rambam is that Arev already establishes something which allows for that flexibility. Yeah.
So it could just be that the Hana, which is gained in the Midin Shneim for the Rambam, which is more similar to the Arev.
That's, well, I think that, the I'm Hana, saying that, but I'm saying,
both cases,
is more similar to the Arev case.
In terms of the quality of the Hana,
I don't know if the quality of the Hana, but I think it,
he's doing Ratzona, and the Arev, it's that he's giving the mana alpiv, and in the Din Shneim, it's that the Ploni is being mekado,
right,
for her. In the Din of Kanani, it's not the Hana of Naas's Rizona, it's the Hana that she's getting the most, she's just getting it from the Ploni.
It doesn't matter where she's getting from, he says that there's most. Here it's because it's Kesef Shalana that's putting it over the top.
Right.
I think that's similar to what I'm saying, frankly. I'm emphasizing a little different part of it, but I think it comes out pretty much. I'm not disagreeing with you, I think it's, I'm not sure there's a difference between what I'm saying. But in other words, this is a subset of Arev, basically.
I'm just not committed to that idea that it's a subset of Arev.
Say again?
There's just a similarity between the type.
No,
of
I think it's more than a similarity. I think that once you've established, with Arev, that this is, viewed in a certain way, that there is a kind of a Kabbalah, that Kesef Shalana has, I think it has a lot to do with what we were talking about yesterday, both in the Rajba and the day before in terms of the Rambam, that once other factors can be integrated into like expanding some of these definitions, and that I think is what's happening in Kesef Shalhana generally, so then Mishum Shneim becomes a possibility too. It's not just a similarity, I'm saying it's more than the similarity, but okay. But I think that's number one, that's true. Number two, which is very interesting, is that both Eved Kenani and Mishum Shneim do not register in the Chayin Le'inyan Mama. Right? And as we had a range of things, when the Gemara says V'chein Le'inyan Mamon, right, or the Gemara's Mistapek, what about Mamon? So we know that Rashi distinguishes Adam Chashu from everything else, right? The Ritva thought that the only thing really on the table is Adam Chashu, because everything else is just, has its origins in Dini Mamanis. And it seems like the Rambam has a third shita, and that is that V'chein Le'inyan Mamon is only about Arev. Now this isn't my Chiddush, of course, it's the Chiddush of the Ran. Right? The Ran Alatar? Moshe, you have it? Right, because he's bothered by the same question. How come the Rambam of Sefira didn't mention Eved Kanani or Mishum Shneim? That's the
Rambam. That's the Rambam.
Yeah. That's
the Rambam. So
basically, he thinks that the Gemara's connection is only in terms of. Put it this way, that maybe you should be mechalik between Arab and the other cases because of the connection la-la may isha. So actually, just a little cue to Ara, the Kesef Mishnah, I think it's Kesef Mishnah, Al-Atar, Nachos Mechira, quotes this Ran, and then he says, you know, what, the Rambam, or the Ran thinks that the Rambam is an Amora, that he can be cholik with the Sugya, right? So he suggests that no, the Rambam read the Gemara that way. That the Gemara, that the Kain in the Mamona is only talking about Arab. Of course, another possibility would be to say that maybe the Gemara does extend to both, but that there's other evidence from other places, right, that makes this more palatable than the others. But it's just an interesting exchange. Now, this idea of the Ran, that law is the base that this is a special halacha, and that this is a universal halacha. Is very interesting, right? For the Rambam, again, the fact that the Rambam, we'll say two things. The fact that the Rambam put Mishum Shneim with Arev here, and yet thinks that Arev works in Mechira, but not only Eved Kanani doesn't, but Mishum Shneim also doesn't, right, is a particularly challenging, you know, added point. But in light of what we just said a second ago, whether you take Ellie's version or my version, maybe what you could say is that, again, we already noted that the Rambam's Arev is a little different in Kiddushin than it is in Bechira. Right? That in Bechira, he emphasizes Midin Arev, you know, and he doesn't emphasize the Hana component. Right? It's only in the context of Ishus where the Arev takes a certain direction. Right, because of the requirements of or the chalos that exists in Ishus, maybe the category of Kesef Shalana only exists, you know, in Ishus as a chalos. So never mind, it's a requirement, but it's also something that registers in Ishus, the Kanyanafsha, that category. Maybe in Dini Mamanis there's just no such thing, and if that is part of what allows you know, the expansion or, you know, once you think that there is also objective Eved Ivri, Eved Kanani, or Eved Kanani works in Kiddushin, and then the Mishum Shneim can be expanded as kind of on the, you know, side of the Arev, so all that gets dropped in Hilchos Bechira. Because Hilchos Bechira, you only have a straightforward Midin Arev. Just 1 more second. So that is one point to make. The second point, and I'll take a question, is that what about what the Ran says itself, the La-La, the Eved, and so on. So firstly, it's interesting that he didn't go with the language of the Gemara, right? But the Gemara itself, we talked about this earlier, you know, about a month ago or 2 months ago, whatever it was, and we were talking about, you know, some of these issues on Kashuv, Hana, right? The Gemara itself, like, you know, creates an opening, you know, by saying, maybe this only works in Dini Mamanus because it's Yoiv L'Mechila, right? Or maybe it only works in Dina Ishus, Kaptalamet of Tandu Melames of Armelo. And Isha Nichole Bekoldu. Right? So it's just interesting that the Ran didn't go with that for the dropping of Eved Kanani and the Mishum Shneim. It's interesting that, again, technically, I think what you could say is that, according to, especially in light of what the Kesef Mishnah points out, namely if the Gemara itself, really, according to the Rambam, that Shakla Vitari is only about Arev, so then that's what the Gemara says about Arev, that maybe you could have made the Chiluk, you know, in either direction for those reasons. But maybe the effectiveness of Eved Knani, and therefore, at least technically, even though you're going to expand it through Arev, but you can only expand it through Arev, but there's still some din of Eved Knani, that still seems to be true. That is not what the Gemara here is talking about. So maybe Eved Knani, or the Chiddush of Eved Knani for the Rambam, is just a Chiddush. It has nothing to do with Kol Dehu. It's a Chiddush that has to do with the very different nature of Ishus and Kinyan Eved Knani itself. Right. Unless you want to say that too has something to do with Nichale B'Kol Dehu. But I think the point would be that what we're saying is that when it comes to a typical Kinyan, so we're very strict. It's a more mechanical, and therefore it's a more objective, you know, kind of a performance. And therefore the question of Nesina and Kabbalah, you know, having a very regimented and rigid definition is required. So if we say that Eved Knani, and therefore by extension Shneim, just doesn't exist, it's not Shlichus, it's not Zachin, so what is it? But when it comes to, ironically, you could have said, you know, when it comes to Kiddushin, there's plenty of evidence of that, or it comes to Eved Knani, which also is a Kinyan Aguf and has Easter components and so on. So normally we consider that we're more Machmir, and we are. But because, for the same reason that we're more machmir, we just are also more flexible, in the sense that the important thing isn't to do, you know, a kinyan or a hakna. It's the kinyan and hakna as kiyikach, you know, or as establishing, you know, the Issa relationship in Eved Knani. So I think that's what the Ran has in mind with the law, that this is just a different kind of a kinyan. It's more machmir in some respects. But side by side with being more machmir, it's also just different. But either way, it's interesting to integrate that into the language of the Gemara. Yeah.
So in terms of the Hanah point, is Hanah...
Which Hanah point?
Hanah. The Aishas, there's Kesef Shel Hanah, somebody
claimed
Eved Knani working there.
Yeah.
So
I'm not sure if we need to ask Kesef Shel Hanah and Eved Knani, but I'm just saying...
No, Kesef Shel Hanah yet. Has it regarded Eved Knani?
No, I mean, I'm just saying that... You mean it for the Ran?
Yeah.
But this is a question you're asking of the Ran.
Yeah, if you're saying the distinction for the Rambam between Kiddushin and Hetira is based on Kesef Shel Hanah,
I'm saying that.
So how does that work out with Eved Knani?
So Eved Knani has its own particular... I mean, I'm saying each is... I don't mean... What I mean is that in Kiddushin, Kesef Shel Hanah is the key ingredient, because that's the nature of that particular transaction. And the point is that it's not simply a... you know, Kinyan Sadeh, Kona Makne, you know, situation. That last part is true also in Eved Knani, but it's not going to be expressed through Kesef Shel Hanah, because that isn't the unique bond or existential, the bond of the Eved Knani to the Adon is not one of Kesef Shel Hanah, right? So that's going to be expressed in very different ways. That's going to be expressed in, you know, in ways that, you know, highlight his sovereignty over him, the Dine Mamanus part of the relationship, and so on. I'm only trying to explain the difference between Ishus and Mechira. What I'm saying is you have to say something parallel about Hilchos Avadim, you know, and Mechira. I wouldn't try to do that with Kesef Shel Hanah, but I think you'll find that there are other factors that play the same kind of role in establishing Eved Knani to be a different kind of Kenyan, not just a Kona Makne, you know, situation. And I think that's what the Ran is suggesting. Because we do say la, but obviously there are numerous parallels to the Eved Isha situation, and there are also things that are very divergent and even opposite. Yeah?
Also, is it possible maybe to go back to something we were talking about earlier in the year? The distinction for the Rambam is that maybe Medin, Kesef, Shovi, that you mean by Kenyan, so that has to come directly from the Kona himself, in order to create the exchange. Whereas in Kiddushin and Eved Knani, it was just Kesef Kinyan, so it can come from someone else.
Well, I think that it is, very much. I mean, isn't Kesef Shalhanu a part of that story?
I mean, it doesn't have to appeal to Kesef Shalhanu.
Well, I'm just saying, I've been looking all along.
Well.
Right, I'm just saying that, to me, all along, Kesef Shalhanu has been part of that story. Meaning, what you're saying is, oh, you need quid pro quo. If you need Piron, that's one thing. If you need Kesef, isn't that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah.
Right, so I'm just saying that for the Rambam, the Kesef is Kesef, but I think it's also Kesef Shalhanu. But, you know, which part of it is... I'm more focused on the formalism, and I also think Kesef Shalhanu works very well here, because I think it does change the way that we look at, you know, the relationships. But I think part of it works just with the formality of Kesef as opposed to quid pro quo. Is that what you're trying to emphasize? Okay. Okay, now let's talk about Zochin for a few minutes. Now, again, whether Zochin is an explanation for Eved Kanani, or Zochin is just something that is brought up in the sugya when we're discussing, you know, what happens if there's no shlichos, why isn't there at least Zochin? I think that is an interesting question to try to pin down in the Rishonim. It's not so clear. But could that be a pshat in Eved Kanani? I think the answer is yes. However, even if not, the question is more important than the designation. Does Zochin work in Kedushin? Shlichos works in Kedushin, although we were asking before, you know, whether it works in an interesting way, right? You can have Kedushin in some cases without a Shlichos, you know, by means of Eved Kanani, Shnehem, however that works, you know, that's what we've been discussing in the Rambam. What about Kedushin al Yedei Zochin? So there aren't so many gemaras about it. Some people think that it's relevant to the sugya. It's certainly relevant to different readings of the gemara on Mem Hei, Omid Aleph to Mem Hei, Omid Beis, Artsuye Hartsuye. There are some who think that that is Zochin and some people who think that it is not. So I just want to take a couple of minutes to analyze a couple of aspects relating to that. Yeah?
I just wanted to ask, what's the conceptual connection between Kedushin within
Kedushin
Midin. So we know that Kedushin works within Eved Kanani, and we know that Kedushin and the question is the most within Zochin.
Well, it might be
that... It seems that those are, in the Gemara, it sounds like there are different principles. Not that the Kedushin is working within Eved Kanani. So Eved Kanani is explaining how the Sinas HaMos is working.
Kedushin right. I mean, isn't Eved Kanani showing us that you can have an Sinas HaMos when the connection between the Mekadesh and the Miskadeshes, or the Kone and the Makne, is more indirect than typically we find in Kinyon. Typical case of Kinyon.
It's a Mekachomemkar question.
What is a Mekachomemkar question?
It's a question of what kind of transfer of funds are attributed to who and being the
same. No, but it's not just it's not just like, you know, which bank.
Whereas Shlichos and Zochin are Shilas and Shlichim Meshuvim questions.
See, I don't agree with that. That's where I disagree. I don't think it's not a question of which bank it comes from. It's a question of it is exactly a question of Zochin and Shluchin and Rer. Meaning, can you do it? Can you be the Kone in an arrangement where you are not, you know, sufficiently connected with the Maisa Kinyan? So that's
Maisa Kinyan of Ishus or Maisa Kinyan of Hakanah Samos? Because here, everyone's saying the Baal, unless they're sleepless, the Baal is the one saying, all right, Mekadeshishli.
Yeah, that's an Amira. But we're not talking about his Amira. We're not talking about his Amira. We're talking about his, and we're not even sure about the Amira. We're talking about his Nesina. I'm saying in the Kinyan itself, everybody agrees in the case here that the Kinyan is all you day some sort of Mos, right? So, But the Mos, let's assume for the Mos for a second, doesn't come from him. It doesn't come from his bank. So one situation of like that is the shliach. He's a mana shliach, but it comes from the shliach's bank. Right. Zochin is a case where you acquire something, right, and somebody else not only pays for it or arranges for it, but somebody else does the maisa kinyan for you, somebody who you have no previous legal relationship with, and yet you're going to be the recipient of a kinyan in which you are even more removed than shlichos from this action. And Eved Kanani is that as well. The Eved Kanani is nifta, right? He's nishtachrer. Even though the kesef, you know, giron or pidgeon came from some party who he has no connection with. So I don't think the question is which bank did it come from. I think it's a much bigger, I think it is a kind of
issue. Isn't the question,
it's a question, does this trace sufficiently to the zoche? Is this, can you have a zoche without being, without doing anything? And how far do you push that? Again, if you hold skia mitam shlichas.
Isn't it similar to the case, if I purchase something with a credit card, and I'm not actually paying?
No.
That's evident. I mean, that when the bank pays for my...
We're not going to discuss, you know, corporations, are we?
When I pay with a credit card and the bank is putting the bill, they're paying for me. That's evident. It's a third-party payer that's working for my acquisition of merchandise. That's evident.
No.
And the shaila is, how does that
work? I mean, again, it depends how credit card works, and it depends how Ebeknani works. But you have to pay the credit card. I mean, you could look at the credit card company as an advanced shliach, right? I mean, I don't want to get into credit cards right now, because I'm...
that's not what's going on in the sugya.
Right? Credit cards? There's no credit cards.
That's exactly what's happening. Someone else is paying for the merchandise, and someone else is...
He's not getting reimbursed, and we don't have a previous relationship or structure.
Well, even if I don't reimburse the credit card company... I default on my loan, but I don't...
No, so then you violated your terms,
it's a violation of the loan from the bank. It's not a violation of my kinyan with the merchant.
That's because you've already set up a relationship with the credit card company. The credit card company are your shliach, or they have access... They have indirect access to your accounts.
No, they don't. It's totally separate.
No, I understand, because
no,
it's because you set up a mechanism where they draw...
They say we'll pay for all your purchases as long as you reimburse them at some point.
Or no, but they and they have your.
Well, that's not the plug.
They have. They draw
card
from
bill,
your bank account.
Only, I personally don't have to authorize it that way. It's only if you decide to do it that way.
Okay, so
it could show up with.
Maybe, you know, that's a great idea. We should say that there are two types of purchase
companies.
Well,
maybe we should. But my point is that this is really the principle of the Kanani that appears in the Gemara, even, right? A third party is making the payments, despite the fact that somebody else is considered to be the purchaser.
Right, it's very much like Zochin.
I don't see what that has to do with Zochin. I mean, even if...
What is Zochin?
So it could be a kind of shlichus, it could be something else.
No, no, now you're already getting into the...
My point is there's...
I'm saying structurally, all these are...
There are agency harsha-type questions, which ask about empowering somebody else to do my work for me. And then there are more technical mekachumemkar questions that ask, what kind of maisek kinyan has to be performed in order for it to be my kinyan?
No, or what siruf to me is required for the kinyan that is done.
Isn't that very different from...
Not if you hold that zochin is not mitam shlichus.
That's an open question, but...
Let's assume for the moment that zochin is not mitam shlichus.
How's it working?
That's a good question, but that's... Zochin is... If zochin is not mitam shlichus, it's not just a implicit mili, or shlichus b'li mili, or even a different type of shlichus. Let's say less kemoso, but still a kind of shlichus. Like those are three legitimate views. Sometimes I should really explain this a little more. I'll just give me 1 second. I'll get back to it. Meaning, some under the rubric of zchiya lav mitam shlichus, some people really think that it's a form of shlichus. But let's assume for a moment that it means not shlichus at all. Right? Like, so I think it's the view of the Rashba, the view of the Ksavos, and others. So then you have exactly, I'm not saying it's the same mechanism, but you have the same exact situation. You have a third party whose legal actions are not legally connected to you as an action whatsoever. We want to know whether or not A can accrue the benefit from a kinyan made between B and C. Can B decide to do something, right, on behalf of A with C without having any legal relationship with him whatsoever. Now, we could argue, extensively about, you know, how credit cards work and whether or not they're, you know, fancy shlichuses or zochins or some other mechanism. But all these cases have in common, even the shliach has this in common, until you say shlichus shodim kemoso, have in common that they're... Party number two is transacting with party number three to the benefit of party number one.
Okay,
that's all these three cases.
Common, but my point is that
I think it's more than common. That's the dilemma.
It's a very loose structural parallel that, yeah, yes, not everything has to be done with my own flesh and bones.
No, right? So you could say there's something called a yad, there's something called a chatzar, there's something called a shliach. All those things can be my remote controls or my extended, you know, hands or domain. But it gets harder to say that in Zachin Shalom Itam Shlichos, and or depending on what the relationship is in Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani is the closest thing Eved Kanani is a form of Zachin, but the Gemara is not calling
it. How
could
Eved Kanani be a form of Zachin if Zachin is limited to Zachuyah? No one ever limited Eved Kanani to Zachuyah.
Shichrur Eved is a source.
There's
a famous Yerushalmi. Glad you asked me about that. But Yerushalmi wants to know.
Let's say you have a cushion.
I
want to know where we find that.
Well, I don't know, but I'm not sure. I think that would be a test.
I could buy cigarettes on my credit card.
Yeah.
The credit card is now like a davar shel, you know, a shliach d'var avera. Okay, that's where you can test it. Okay.
But that, again, that prejudges that it's a question of shliach, it's not a question of everybody.
I know. The credit card. This is the question, by the way, of the Yerushalmi in Gittin, that Tosfos quotes on you, Halacha and Beis. Boy mine Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rab Zeira. Right? This is the question. Let's say you have an Eved in a cushy job. Right? He's the butler in the White House. I'm not talking about this White House. Right, then he probably doesn't have such a good job security. But let's say a butler in the king's palace. The butler, the son of the butler, the son of the butler, the major domo of the palace. So the Yerushalmi wants to know, is being mezakeh, is accepting a get shichur for such an eved, knani, is that considered to be a zchus rechov? Right? And the Yerushalmi ends up saying, it's still a schus. Because all Eved situation, that's the Yerushalmi's discussion. Either guy doesn't want it, he's screaming and yelling, you know, the air conditioning in the palace is the best ever, job security, right? The king likes to mow his own lawn, right? Now the question is, why? So the Yerushalmi goes on to say, right, is it because it's hard to read the Yerushalmi. There are different girsos and different interpretations. Is it because basically tomorrow we could be fired, or the king could wake up and be unhappy, right? Or is it because avdus and cherus is always a schus? But this is part of the question. Okay. But either way. Let me just go back to the basic question. You might very 100% be right. I think I'm not suggesting that the simple pshat is that midin eved kanani is midin zav. I'm saying that some rishonim here imply that it might be. The pashtus eved kanani is a different category.
Rishonim read yesterday.
What?
Rishonim read yesterday.
Some of the rishonim who bring in the issue here in the context.
That's not just to answer the question from.
Some of them, I think, is to answer the question, why don't you just say zachin? And some of them, the way it's formulated, sounds like they think that this might be part of the discussion. But I would agree with you, mostly Eved Kanani sounds like a category unto itself.
Right. Okay. But it's not
totally on schuss. What? It still may be totally on schuss, but it may be that it extends beyond the impact of what Zachin does. Right? That's also a different point. Right? In other words, the Makabela gets Shechror as Zachin is one thing. Right? To be Poda, to do a Maisa Kinyan or a Maisa Hakna might be something else. I mean, so let's just get it back to our main point. What are the issues of Zachin and Kiddushin themselves? Right? There are Rishonim who think that Zachin works in Kiddushin. Right? Some of the Rishonim here, Olatar. Some of the Rishonim here, some of the Rishonim on Memhe. If Zachiyas mitam shlichos, especially the closer that it is to real shlichos, that is to be expected. Right? The only hump you have to overcome is
to establish whether or not this is enough of a zchiya. After all, there are certain factors. Let's take the ones that we've shown him here and there, meaning here on our Gemara and there on Memhei, point to things like, oh, maybe he wants to marry a different girl, right? Or the Isur Krovit, right? Or Sherksus Viona, what about the other factors, you know, that come into play? So as far as those are concerned, let's take for a moment the ones who think that there's no problem, that Kiddushin is a schus. So I think there are two things that you can say, right? One is, Inochanami, but let's say we know for a fact that he, subjectively, he personally, right, is still interested, based on what he said before, only based after. That's another interesting issue. That's not for us right now. So there's personal zachin, and then it works. You also might have to add to that mix, can there be personal zachin if there's objective chavin? That's an interesting question. How objective chavin is he could marry someone else? You know, there's a psul korva, there's sherksus viona. What you might say is, if you think that the institution of Kiddushin is by and large a positive one, and we do, right? Lo tovaya sadam levado, and we think that Ishus is an amazing davar shebekiddusha, right? We're even going to say soon that maybe pashta kiddusha bekula, right? So then what you might say is, yeah, but there are still some small points about this particular kiddushin, and therefore you're not going to impose that against him. If he finds out about it and he's not happy about it, that's certainly going to be chavin. But intrinsically, it's zachin, meaning I think it's still an open question as to whether these are really obstacles and you can overcome them through, you know, personal zachin, or it's not that you're overcoming them through personal zachin, but you're being megala milsa that the din zachin, it has no obstacles in this particular case. I think that that's important for zachin and the range of zachin, but that's basically the idea. And what about people who disagree, like the Tosas Riyad, who says, oh, but there's Krovin, or he could marry somebody else. But in this particular case, we know he wants to get married to this girl. So it sounds like what the Tosas Riyad is saying is that basically we are only interested objectively in the factors to determine that something is a pure zachin. If something is not a pure zachin, then even if he expresses subjective interest, and even if there's much about the institution that is positive, that is not going to qualify for zachin. So the fact that there's Iser Krovim in almost every marriage, except for Ger, the fact that there's Sher Ksus, the fact that he, you know, wanted to pick someone else and doesn't want to necessarily do that after getting divorced and paying the schar sofer or everything else that comes along with it, right, what we're saying is, right, that is something which mitigates the purity of zachin, and if it's not pure zachin, there's no din of zachin. The Tosas Rid seems to be taking that position. The opposite case of that, by the way, anybody know? I think probably mentioned in the past at some point, is can you ever have, this is can you have zachin even when you express it? Or is something considered to be chavin, put it this way, even when you personally are gung-ho, enthusiastic? That is the case of the Tosas Riyad. And most Rishonim think that that factor is not correct. The opposite of that is there ever a case of zachin balkarcha? Right? Can you ever have a situation of zachin balkarcha? So that is a famous view of the Rajba in Kiddushin and Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Beis in the context of Eved Kenani. In the context of Eved Kenani, the Rajba against the other Rishonim has a line in which he says that Eved Kenani can be Meshuchrar against his will based on Zachin. And the other Rishonim say, how can you do anything against his will based on Zachin? Right? The whole point is that he's expressing his Chavin. So the Achronim explain that typically that is true, because that's explicit in many Makoros, that you cannot force somebody if something is a matana, and you give it to him, when he finds about it, he screams and he yells, he says, oh yeah, I never wanted that, right? Then we know that it's not zachin. So how come here, when he's screaming and yelling, right, about the shikror, we ignore that? So what some of the achronim explain is that here we have, there are always two issues. One is what constitutes zachin and chavin, and the other is whether or not there's a kinyan bal karcha. Typically, kind of a kinyan bal karcha that goes back to the beginning of the year, right? The sugenda base. However, when it comes to Eved Knani, there is a kinyan bal karcha, right? The Adon can be Meshachra, the Eved bal karcha, even if he doesn't want to go. The only problem is there something, is it a Hagdara of Zachin if he's screaming Chavin, Chavin, Chavin? Right? So the Rajba thinks, at least that Rajba thinks, that Shichror, Ebed, is such an objective schus that his personal perspective is irrelevant. So you can have something which is too much Chavin, like the Tosis Rid, even though he wants it. And you can have something which is pure zachin, even though he doesn't want it. Mostly, we find ourselves in between, where your personal desire, right, impacts on whether something is or is not zachin v'chavin. So one whole big topic or issue here is, A, about zachin and chavin, B, and what about zachin and chavin, when you have elements of chavin, but it's mostly in the aggregate zachin, but it's not pure a zachin, right? It's also an issue in the second parak. Mark talks about receiving this portion of the land and that, but Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, the Ran, famous Ran in Gittin about Prusbul. They talk about being Mezake Yukarka. Being Mezake Yukarka is always a good thing, right? That's Zachin. But let's say having Karka then opens you up to a Prusbul, which is going to cause you to lose your Shemitas Ksafin edge. So it's a short-term zachin and a long-term chavin. Is that zachin or chavin? Right? So there are all these interesting questions about zachin and chavin being objective or subjective, short-term, long-term, pure or aggregate. I don't want to get into all of them. The more you look at zachin in terms of minui shlichus implicitly, it should all just depend, it should all be subjective, it should all be the aggregate. If you are going to go for any of these more formalistic definitions of either Zachin or Chavin, you have it in Gittin. The Gemara has in Yevamos on Kuf Yud Ches, a get. Again, get Shichror is always considered to be Zachin. That's that Yerushalmi, the butler of the king. Depends how you read the answer of the Yerushalmi, right? But that's what they're talking about. Here is a case of get Shichror and it's Chavin. No. Similarly, the same Yerushalmi and tons of Bavlis, what about a get? Kabbalah's get is always considered to be chavin. Let's say she hates him and she expresses it. Or he's a mukashkin. Right? Or it's mezake biyabam. That's a sugyan yabamas of kufyut chesum adbeis. And Gemara weighs that. Or meshumad in the Rishonim and the Gaonim. Can you turn the chavin of get into zakin? Either through personal input, what she really says, or even because if the broader get is always a chov, maybe cases like this, the objectification of certain circumstances make it a schus, and vice versa. But the more you think of zakin as something separate from shlichus, the easier it is to make these formalistic determinations. That's all one major debate. You had a question?
Oh yeah, I was going to mention another case. I think the Truma of Meiser, whether if that's going to bring him over the top or an Arastik.
Yeah, that would be similar to the case of the Prusbul of the Ran in Lamed Vav and Gittin. 100%. There are numerous cases like this. The other issue, I think far more intriguing, is that line in the Tosis Riyazake. And this goes back to what we were discussing a few minutes ago, which is, again, if Zchiyah is mitam shlichos whenever the Zachin, so again, we're talking about shlichos. Even then, we might be talking about a less connected shlichus to the Meshaleach, a more independent shlichus, right? Not shlichus adam kemoso, but like Reb Chaim says, a different parsha of shlichus. I think that's what the Ran and the Ramban in the beginning of the second parak of Kedushin are getting at as well, yeah.
The stencils are fine, there's a whole piece of that.
Yeah, it's in the stencils, and Rav Baruch Ber has it in the Berachas Shmuel, but Reb Chaim has it in the stencils in the beginning of the second parak, where he says, Zachin, Shalomitam Shlichus, right, may actually be a different parsha of Shlichus. Personally, I think that might be even Zachin Mitam Shlichus, according to some of the Mepharshim. But if it isn't just how kimoso it is, right, we might reach a certain point of saying that Zachin is not Shlichus to say that it's not, there's no Shlichus at all. He's not just working for him, you know, but in a looser way with greater independence. Let's say the Pa'ula is his, the Maisa is his, right? But no, he's really accomplishing the goal. The goal accrues to him, or the results accrue to him, but he didn't do the Maisa at all. That is a more extreme view of Zchiya Shalomitan Shlichos. Right? The Rajba really thinks that a Katan or a Ketana, which are not subject, ain't Zchiya Lekatan, Elektana, but nonetheless, Yesh Lahem Yad, Legabe, Zchiya Shalomitan Shlichos. And the Ksos thinks even Aku. It sounds like they're talking about, you know, something that is quite different, not just no minui, not just a different quality of kimoso, and so on, but a situation where A does work, right, which is not mitzuref as a maisa, as a pe'ula, but just is able to accomplish on behalf of B. And that is not far, I'm not saying it's midin Eved Kanani, I'm not saying Eved Kanani is limited to Zachin, but it's not far from what we're talking about, or the chiddush, of Eved Kanani. This could be that Eved Kanani is even a step beyond that. Maybe Eved Kanani doesn't even have to be mitzuref to him. Maybe Eved Kanani is, you know, only the end result. The Eved Kanani is between the Adon and the himself. Like, I buy out the Adon's a part of the contract, the guy Mimela is free. You know, maybe I'm not even working. He gets the benefit, but it's not even on his behalf. I agree. It sounds like Eved Kanani is one step removed, even from the removed Zachin She'eno Mitam Shlichus. But I think that's what the Ria Zakein is actually saying. When the Ria Zakein says, you know, what are you talking about, Zachia, in Kiddushin? His problem is not the problem of the Tosis reads, oh, there are Chovin elements and therefore it shouldn't work. His problem is, unlike regular Kinyanim, where all you really care about is Das Nosin, this Kabbalah, this is Kiddushin, you have to create this, you have to, it's Yitzira Sachalot, you can't do that with Zachin. Even though Zachin works, and even if it is a Zchus, that is a major statement. Now again, the Rishonim would disagree, it's because they think Zchiya is much more Mitzurav to the Bailim, maybe, or not. The Rambam in Mishum Eved Kanani, or Mishum Shneim, right, seems to have cases where the Maisa Kiddushin, you know, the result of the Maisa Kiddushin, or Maisa Kiddushin Mitzura, but it's not actually as a Maisa connected to it. Okay. So having said all that, that is the Zachin. Do we have any questions on that? I'm going to finish up in one more minute. Any other questions on Zachin for the moment? So just to sum up, there's a debate about what Eved Kanani means in our Gemara. It forces us to look at, number one, Shlichus and the impact of Shlichus in Kiddushin, and the question of where the money comes from, whether it's Mechaser, for the Osa Maisa Kiddushin, the Mekadesh, as opposed to the Bailim. Then there's a separate point, that's the Rambam, no Shlichus, probably no Zachin, something called Eved Kanani, which is, again, Tziruf to the Kabbalah, to the result. Or maybe it's considered a maisa if you're mitzuref to the result. But point, it doesn't matter. That's already a matter of semantics, how you're going to say that. But something quite different. Obviously, much bigger chiddush than Rashi. Then, either as an explanation of Eved Kanani, or triggered by the discussion of Eved Kanani, and by the sugya, and then, hey, have a discussion of the Rishonim, whether Zachin works for Kiddushin. And that is a machlokas of Rishonim. There you have to consider two or three issues. Number one, practically, what do you do with the chavin elements, and are they really crucial, or it's in the nature of Kiddushin, which is a Zachin, therefore lemaisa you have to get past them, but not more. Or in the middle position, you know, you can always get through chavin issues by finding out the subjective zochen, right? Things of that sort. There you have the contrast to the Tosfos Reed, and others will say, no, kiddushin is never zochen. Right? And then we talked about objective zochen, subjective zochen, you know, pure zochen, aggregate zochen, short-term zochen, long-term zochen, and so on. And then comes the third issue, and that is, if you hold zchiyas lav mitam shlichos, yet zochen works in dinei mamonos, and it works in shechor eved too in this case, right? Will it work in the tziras hakalos of kiddushin? That is what I think the Tosfos Reed Zochen is talking about. Either way, it's something that needs to be talked about. And I just think it's interesting that the Rajba, who happens to hold that Tzchiyas Lav Mitam Shlichos, happens to be open here to Kiddushin Ayin Dei. Yeah?
What's the Raya from Tosfos Reed Zochen?
I thought that he was saying that Zechiyah doesn't work in principle in Kiddushin. Even if it is
Zechiyah. Not just because you need an Amira from the Baal?
I think he's quoting Amira from the Baal in the same way that he's quoting Amira from the Baal before, meaning on Zion of an Aleph, as a way of saying that you need to be Yotzer the Ishus. But I will be happy to elaborate. We're going to stop now, but I'll elaborate a little bit more on that because I want to talk about the role of Amira just a little bit more in... Anyway, and then I want to start Chatzi Kedushin on Thursday. You know, again, look at the Rajba on the Sugya, and also think a little bit about other cases of Chatzi Kedushin. Do Rashi Tosis, of course, the Rambam, the Rajba, the Raiva that the Rajba quotes, and so on. On, of course, the Tosis on Pashto Kedushin Bekula, and that is limited to Lashon Kedushin. What do we should say about that? If you want to look at a little bit in the on the Kachim side, his Pashtus HaKiddushin, maybe look at the Kiddush HaGriz on Yud Beis Amid Aleph and Zvachim, or on Yud and Tura. How does his Pashtus Kiddushin work in Kachim, and how would it work in Kiddushin? Is it through the Amira? Is it through the Maisa Kiddushin or the Chalos HaIshus? Like, what do we mean by that whole thing? And then those Spekos I want to talk about. In the Gemara, other Chatzi. What about other Chatzi Kiddushins? Gittin Ben Gimel, Shivka Charufa. Talked a little bit about them. Came up Charufasi earlier, right? Things like the Gemara in Samach Amud Aleph from Yochanan Shraga de Livni, and other cases of Chatzi Kiddushin. Okay, so we'll do whatever we'll do as we can.